The Sisters' Perspectives is a forum where individuals come to express their viewpoint, their stance, their angle on issues relative to topics of concern to the community globally. Each week, our co-host and featured guest will present a perspective through a unique lens. The Sisters' Perspective gives the world a frame of reference, an ear, a voice on politics, public policy, advocacy, finance, economics, health. The Sisters' Perspective is a roundtable on hot topics with dialogue on issues in the news. It's a way of looking at controversial subjects, approaches, and outlooks. So come check us out and give us your perspective. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sisters' Perspective, where we're giving the world a voice. I am Lara Lane White, your host, along with special correspondents Paula Ann Granston. This segment of the Sisters' Perspective is a focus on female entrepreneurship. Three women are highlighted today. Each have proven themselves as innovators. Each have successfully created, organized, and managed an enterprise. All three from within the state of Georgia, which is important because according to Bond Street, Georgia ranks number one in the U.S. for the fastest growth of number of firms owned and operated by women. A study conducted by Intuit concluded that more than a third of businesses in Atlanta are owned by women, and it ranks sixth in the top cities for female entrepreneurs. So today, we have three dynamic business titans who have more than proven their business acumen. Each are here today to share their experience and wisdom in the area of entrepreneurship. First, she has literally put Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard back on the map as founder and president of the Slutty Vegan. She has already been featured in Forbes magazine and as Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Atlanta Close-Up. She is a graduate of Clark Atlanta University with a degree in mass communication. She is also a former television producer and casting director before turning as sole proprietor of Atlanta's Slutty Vegan. She is Pinky Cole. Next, with a genuine love for teaching and learning, Dr. Natosha Anderson is CEO and founder of SmartSTEM, an organization with a focus on retaining girls and young women in STEM. She is a graduate in mechanical engineering technology from Southern Polytechnic State University and holds both an MBA and doctorate degree from the University of Phoenix. Dr. Natosha Anderson is with us. And last but not least, this creative visionary started her own business more than 30 years ago while still a student at Payne College. She was most recently recognized by Women's Empowerment as one of the most outstanding women in business. She is owner, operator, and sole proprietor of Atlanta's Burning Sands. To my listeners, I present to you my classmate, my homegirl, Alicia Porter. I'm excited about the examples each of you are setting in your respective industries, and I am inspired mostly by your tenacity and your drive. But before we get into our dialogue, you each have done some great things to alter the landscape of female entrepreneurship. And I want to invite each of you to share your latest endeavors. Pinky, let's start with you. Talk to our listeners about who you are and how the Slutty Vegan concept began and where it is now.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. You know, the past 11 years has been an amazing journey for me. I started this business August 6th of last year. And had I known what I know now, I would have been thinking a lot bigger. But the way that the universe works, I was in alignment with everything that I was supposed to be doing. Because what was supposed to be a ghost restaurant really turned into one of the biggest brands in America. And I'm proud to be a part of that for more than one reason. One, because as a Black woman, having a business that is as successful as mine, it's more than just about money. It's about really helping Black people, especially to reimagine food. And I think that we do a great job at doing that. Mm-hmm. So within the last 11 months, I've been featured in Times Magazine, Forbes Magazine twice. I have four entities already. I have two trucks and two restaurants and a fifth, which is the tour that we do all year. I'm able to employ 37 employees. You know, we are just doing amazingly well to see so many people stand in line in the name of food and coming together in harmony for that very reason is history making. You know, as a 31-year-old woman, I never imagined being the voice of reason for so many Black people who are wanting to be introduced into veganism. So to be able to be that person to guide them into that light, you know, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel that I'm walking in my purpose. And I'm excited what we've done for the city of Atlanta, especially in the Western community as a graduate of Clark Atlanta University, you know, to be able to open up my first business outside of a food truck in the neighborhood and where I went to college is a big deal. And it's a big give back to the community. So I'm just excited. I'm excited about what the future has to hold. A lot of people have been sluttified. The word bloody vegan may sound provocative, but it has nothing to do with sex. It's really just a hook to get people to pay attention to transitioning into a more plant-based lifestyle. So I am just happy to be here.
That is, and it is absolutely ingenious to come up with that concept and that, as you say, that hook. I can see some very smart approaches to marketing, and a lot of thought has gone into it. It's a genius concept. Dr. Natasha, talk to us about who you are and how your organization, what is the concept and where it is now and where is it going?
Okay. First, I have to say that Pinky, your food is delicious. Delicious with a capital D and the full caps and everything. And I think that I actually have a date with my couple group. We're supposed to be going there today. I don't know if we'll make it, but that is the plan. Okay. So about what I do. I have been in STEM my whole life. So I'm a nerd and I'm a proud nerd. I make no bones about it. Was physics and math were my favorite subjects in high school and continued that on to college. Was a mechanical engineer for 10 years in a metropolitan Atlanta area. I've designed cars, I've designed trains, I've designed buildings and all sorts of other things in between. So I felt like I really wanted to reproduce myself. I'm a Black female engineer, and there were far too few instances where I saw another me in a meeting or working on a project. And so my whole sole focus for starting my own business, for doing all of the work that I've done in this space, is to reproduce myself. And so I've been working with girls, I don't know, since I became an engineer and even before, because they're me. I am them, and specifically Black girls. So, you know, it's like I really want us to know that we can do it. We can achieve. We can grow. We can aspire. All of those things in a STEM space. It is not something that's outside of ourselves. We have the drive, the smarts, the determination, everything we need to be successful in STEM. We already have it. And so that's sort of been my message. And then about 2 years ago, I was like, I'm giving myself away to people who, you know, and who don't appreciate it. I'm not getting paid for my services, which would be fine if that was what I wanted. And I'm like, you know what? I feel like I'm worth more than that. So I need to learn how to put myself out there in a different way. So I launched my consultant business, and within, I want to say a month, I had my first contract. So I put out a basic website that says, hey, this is who I am, this is what I do. Got contacted by a group who really wanted to do some research into the STEM space. In particular, they wanted to research Black girls. And I was like, oh, you want to talk about me? You want me to research me? Okay, I can do that. I got my first contract within weeks of officially opening my business, and I haven't really looked back since. So if you want to put on a STEM event, you want to do STEM research, you want me to consult with you to come up with how you're going to address your STEM education program or platform in your school, in your business, your after school program, you think you want to do STEM, then I'm your girl. This is who you talk to. So that is who I am and what I'm about. And I'm enjoying it so far.
Awesome. Okay. All right. Okay. So Alicia, talk to us about, you know, what you do, how your concept started, and you know, where you are. You've been in, you've come a long way, baby.
Yes, I have. And first, I want to say, hi, Pinky. I love you. I love what you're doing. And you've been a blessing to this community. And also, Natasha, I have a daughter that's in STEM, so I understand the importance of it and of spreading this amongst our youth. And Dr. White,
thank you.
It's been a pleasure and an honor to be on the floor with you. I've known you for over 30 years, so it's, yes. Trust me, it's a pleasure. Firstly, I would like to say I'm just simple. I'm just a woman who's self-made. I didn't plan on going into business. My original goal was to be an anchor woman. But I fell into this business after getting two speeding tickets while in college at Payne. And my dad said, you need to figure out a way how to pay for these tickets. And my mother came to me in a dream to make pillows. She passed when I was 8. And fortunately, she passed the gift of sewing to me. And that was how I was able to start a business just from sewing. And I took those talents and I targeted to the Greek community for fraternities and sororities. So that was my start. At one point, we did grow into having 5 businesses, 4 in Atlanta and 1 in Houston, Texas. And unfortunately, with the market crash in 2008, 2009, 2010, we ended up downsizing to 1 location, which itself has proved to be a beast in its own. So that's pretty much what we do. We also do trade shows all around the world for fraternities and sororities. And we also outfit movie scenes for their made up fraternities and sororities. And those movies has been Drumline is one, and Stomp the Yard. So that has been a pleasure to be a part of that. So that's pretty much what we do.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And that's been since you were in college. That's been, like I said, that's more than 30 years. That's 30 years of experience being in the business. So, you know, that's awesome. Let's see. Dr. Natasha, can you describe a typical day in the life of, you know, of being president and CEO of your consulting firm?
Okay, again, another first. Alicia, I've been to your shop. I am a proud member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. And I think so you probably have set me out a lot. I probably paid some, you know, rent there.
Me too.
Thank you.
So what is a typical day? So it actually depends. Some days are slower than others. Right now is high tide for me because of schools getting ready to start, and everybody wants to get, you know, everybody wants to take a meeting. Like I need a STEM program for my after school programs, or I want to do some STEM activities for the first week or first day of school, or I want to map out what the year is going to look like. So, It's really busy. So I feel like I've been in meetings every day for the past 4 weeks or so, trying to get partnerships nailed down, events specifically planned. But normally it's like peaks and valleys. So so to this right now, it's like I was here where I am at 7:15 this morning, and I probably won't leave here until after 5, just because we're working out some logistics on some things, and I don't foresee that changing until about the first week of school. which you probably don't call me and don't look for me.
So the main thing is that, you know, I guess then the reason for that question is to just kind of highlight that when you're starting your own business, you have to be prepared to work outside of banker's hours. I mean, if it's something that you love to do, you got to be ready to work outside of banker's hours.
I feel like I work all the time. There's no off.
and you almost cannot even tell it because you're doing something that you love.
Right.
Now you know what? Now, Pinky, I know my listeners are just dying to know what your day-to-day is. So just kind of give us a glimpse into what's it like to be the head.
Well, first of all, less flooding ain't easy, okay? you know, it's an interesting thing. I do not sleep much, so I take a lot of power naps. I do have a really good team, though. But because my business has grown as fast as it has grown, it literally takes a village. This is the baby that is learning how to walk, and it takes a village to make sure that baby is safe and secure every day. So what that looks like for me is, and this is so funny, people laugh when I say this. So I have two assistants, and I move both of them in my apartment complex. So one lives upstairs, one lives downstairs. So literally, because there's always so much to do. So literally, I can have them, I can call them and say, hey, come to my apartment and we can brainstorm and do whatever we need to do. But, you know, Slutty Vegan is a 25-hour-a-day job, more than 24, you know. And that's what it is. When you are an entrepreneur, you got to be willing to, like, sacrifice a whole lot of stuff in the beginning, especially if you have an end goal, if you have an intention to really make this thing grow. So for me, I'm still in my control freak era, right? So I like to be busy. If I'm not busy, something is wrong. So I'm usually busy, always doing something different for the business. So I don't work in the business anymore in the restaurant, but I do a lot of working on the business. So out of all the employees, I'm with my executive team. We're coming up with new ideas, coming up with ways to create new content for the page, because Slutty Vegan is really driven by the social media. So that is like the face of the business. So the face of the business has to always be on point because that's what's going to attract the people. So we work a lot on that. So literally, I'm up around like 6 a.m. studying pages, seeing how we can improve and how we can be better. And I usually go to sleep about 4 in the morning. But in between that time, I'll take cat naps. Like, for instance, I'm on the way to a meeting at City Hall and on this podcast. So I'm like, okay, how can I find ways to do all the things that I need to do? And merge every single world into one. But you know, I wouldn't have it any other way, because before this, I was working and making somebody else's dream come true. See? Working 17 hours a day. And
that's
even
right.
Though I'm working long hours, I get to make my dream come true. I get to create opportunity for other people to be in a fun and safe environment. And, you know, I get to help other people see what entrepreneurship looks like, because the people around me get to learn about it every single day in this manner.
Wow. Right. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Now, Alicia, so talk to us. We had a conversation last night, and I could literally feel that energy. We just came out of convention, and I know that was some stuff that happened, you know, with Barry. You know, he really threw a monkey wrench into the whole, the entire convention. So, you know, talk to us about what your day-to-day is like.
Well, outside of Hurricane Barry, that's a whole different story. But my day today, it starts out with prayer early in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I'm also into penny stocks, so preparing for retirement down the road, which really isn't too far, but I know it's nearing. I'm very much in tune with the business, every aspect of it. From ordering merchandise, product development. I still have a hand in layout and production. That's pretty much one of my passions, that I love to create the product to the end. And also trinkets, of course, and building relationships. But the Bernie Sands is more than just, you know, creating line jackets or creating garments. It's really about networking and being able to meet people from all walks of life, And it's amazing people that come through these doors, all from all professions, all backgrounds, all types of problems, health issues, and diagnoses that they've gotten, and children that are sick, children that are lost, the successes, the highs and lows, and being in tune to what my customers are feeling. And sometimes I call this place the Cheers Bar, because this is a place where people can come and not dump their problems, but share it. But you get a certain time limit, because we can't be on it all day. But
right.
But being able to being in tune to our customers, and more than just, again, selling products, is really truly being a sister. And that's what this business is about, selling merchandise to fraternity brothers and sorority sisters, and being in tune to other people's plights, and being able to give them words of wisdom, and they listen and they value it, and which shocks me sometimes. But again, that's the greater purpose of the Burning Sands.
Right. Well, thank you so much for that. You know, during your guys's introductions, they were very beautiful, very intimate. So thank you for that. You guys spoke about how the way to success can be a very long and winding road, obviously. And it's very inspiring to see that all three of you wonderful ladies have made it. So I just wanted to ask you guys, first to Miss Cole, first to Pinky, could you please just tell us a little bit about some of the challenges that you faced in becoming successful with Slutty Vegan?
You know, every day is a challenge, but I like to call it like a beautiful fear, right? So every day I wake up, I'm like, whoa, there's a lot of things that I have to conquer today. But it just gives me that much more grit and motivation to really conquer the day. Because by the end of the day, I feel good laying down knowing that I did it.
Right.
Funny story. The other day, we went to Macon, Georgia. Mm. And on the way to Macon, the hood of the food truck popped off. So, you know, you need a hood inside a food truck so that the ventilation, so you could breathe inside of the truck. So it fell off. So we said, okay, we're going to keep going. And we drove all the way down to Macon. And 7 minutes away from our location, the tire blew. So this entire time, we had about 500 people standing outside awaiting our arrival. So could you imagine having so many people outside waiting for you, and you have a blown tire, and your hood is not working? So then we finally roll our way to the park where everybody was at. We pulled up, and we turned on the car, started cooking, and the inside of the truck started melting because it was so hot.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Long story short, we weren't able to serve the customers right at that moment because it became a hazard. So what we had to do is all 500 of those people, because customer service is important to me, got free burgers for the wait.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, for the wait and for the fact that they were patient enough to be understanding this. Despite our situation. I say all that to say every single day is a challenge. A lot of people right. see the final product. You know, they see the lights, they see what they see on social media, the celebrities and all the fun stuff. But right. they are very hard and difficult days. But those are the days that really help you to gain character. It helps you to learn more about yourself and more about integrity in business. And learn, you know, how to do damage control and mm-hmm. every single thing that starts as a challenge is always a lesson learned, especially at Slutty Vegan, because we literally, when I say this is the best schooling that I've ever had in my entire life, like, you can't learn right. in the classroom. You know what I mean? Right. So mm-hmm. I missed all of the challenges, and they do happen. I know we talked earlier briefly about the fact that, you know, I've had several inspections since I opened up my business, you know, and all inspections, I got at least a 98 or above. But that is another challenge, because that could have, if I've gotten a lower than a 75, that could have destroyed my business. But just always making sure that, you know, we're prepared, because when you stay ready, you ain't never got to get ready. So amidst the challenges,
right.
I always make sure that we overcome them, we learn something from it. And, you know, it's the best teachings that we could have ever learned. And I'm just so grateful that, you know, the day to days look how they look. I wouldn't change it for a thing.
Right. Well, thank you so much for that. If you stay ready, you never have to get ready. That's a word. So thank you so much for that. And, you know, that's one of those very anecdotal examples of an obstacle. And, you know, the fact that you put customer service over your own, like, own economic gain, like, that's amazing. That's amazing. So thank you for that. And I really wanted to ask you, Ms. Anderson, also, what are some of the challenges that you face day to day or over the long road in becoming successful?
So I think there are two that I faced, and one was internal. So it's making the shift, the mind shift from working for someone to working for yourself. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people, you might think it's easy to do that, but when, or at least for me, I'll say, when I had spent, I don't know, the past 20 years or so, 20, 30 years working for someone else, 20 years working for someone else, doing their good work. You know, I might have put my name on it, but it was in the name of this corporation or this college or this whatever, right? So now it's me. Like SmartSTEM is me. I am SmartSTEM. That was a mind shift for me. So it's like, if I put my John Hancock on a contract, it's not in the name of, it's me. It means I'm responsible. The quality of the work, all of it, it's me. And so that took me a little bit of time, because again, there is no net. When you are an entrepreneur, right, it's true. You. There's no net. So that took me a little bit of time, because, as I said, I signed my first contract within weeks of becoming an official business. So it's like I had to go. It wasn't an opportunity to, let me just ease into this thing. No, I'm going to go and I'm going to do this. But along the way, of course, there's pitfalls. There's things I've learned that I'm like, okay, I shouldn't have done that. Or I should have done this as opposed to doing that. And then, there's just lessons that you learn along the way. Sometimes you get, or at least I know there's been a couple of times where I've gone into contract and negotiations and I'm like, I should have, it's like I needed to learn how to trust myself, my own intuition, my own gut, the things that I know from mm-hmm. experience, from life, from, just dealing with people, especially people working in this space, because all STEM is not good STEM. So mm-hmm. it's like, okay, are these people I want to be, do I want to be in business with these people? Do I want mm-hmm. my name, my company's name associated with this group? As opposed to saying, okay, I just want these funds, or I want this, it's like, no. You need to be smart about who it is you associate your business with, because of course that, there's that old saying about whatever about the company you keep, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's the same in business. And entrepreneurs, again, there's no net. So it's just like you get hung up with the wrong person and people start thinking, bad things about this individual. Well, why would they think any different about you? Because, so those are some of the lessons that I've learned. And I'm also learning how to market myself, because I've been spectacularly bad at it my whole life. And I actually say that modestly, but it's not a natural part of who I am. I'm like, the work for me, it's always been the work speaks for itself. But this isn't that space. So the work that, because everybody does it, especially in a STEM space, that was a great STEM event. It was, my kids got a lot out of it. They don't care who put it on, right? But I need to be able to say, yes, I did that event. There were 5,000 people there. They had 25 vendors. I need to be able to say, yes, that was a smart STEM event, and be able to really market myself well and position myself in social media and just out there in the landscape. And that has been a real lesson, because I'm learning as I go. Like, I talked to somebody today who's like, yeah, I can, you need to brand yourself better. Okay. it's like, I've been working on this. So I'm learning as I go.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for that. And that sounds like a very sudden but very important transition, like when you're starting a business, realizing that you're in charge and everything falls on you now. So congrats on, surmounting that internal conflict you spoke of. And not everyone can do that, so that's no small feat. And as you said, who you surround yourself with and how you build that personal brand is definitely important. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. And Ms. Porter, I wanted to ask you, starting Burning Sands, to bring fellow Greeks together and you just celebrate that very rich culture, it couldn't have been easy. So Can you please give me a little insight on what challenges you've overcome on your path to success?
Much of what Natasha just mentioned, pretty much what she's seeing is growth. Growth is painful. Every time I go to another level, I feel fear because it's so easy to stay in a comfort zone. It's so easy to retreat and just deal with the people who you know. Growth means that you have to expand, that you have to meet people with different types of subject matter expert. You have to build different relationships, new relationships, and most importantly, you have to trust. And when it's just you, as Natasha talked about, and I'm sure Swarupika understands too, when it's just you, because you know you trust yourself, you have to have people around you whom you can, who have your best interests, who will not turn their back on you or your ideas and abandon you and your ideas. But the biggest part for me is growth to each level, each level, each level. And again, I spoke about fear, and I'm feeling fear now because I know we have to go to the next level, and that's social media with the website, with Facebook store, with Twitter, with Instagram, with all of that, and being able to be comfortable with opening yourself up to the world on a larger scope where people you just don't know. And sorry, Pinky, you seem to have mastered that. So to me, that is a growth, a learning curve for me to be able to walk in that, which is a greater destiny, but being comfortable with that. And that's going to take a little more time, but I will say we're attacking that each day to get to that point where we do have the website perfect. We've got an Instagram to where we can reach out to people and people can reach out to us. So that's been one of the greatest hurdles.
Awesome. Well, and you know, just hearing the three of you talk, I'm thinking, I sit here and I think about how pedagogically, that's a big word, pedagogically, there is something happening with each of you and anybody that's in business beyond the transactions, beyond the byproducts of capitalism, beyond the business theories and key indicators. There is an exchange of education where both the consumer and the sellers are benefiting beyond the product. And each time you have conquered your challenges, each time you have gone and worked those 17, 18 or more hours per day, there's something that you're getting out of it, that you're getting out of it. And with each hamburger that you sell, Pinky, and with each contract you negotiate, each time you present a curriculum, Natasha, each time you meet an order, Alicia, there's more going on, obviously, than, okay, we're exchanging money. There's an exchange for each of you. There's been a level of growth. So it's just an awesome thing. Now for our listeners, Dr. Natasha, because I know you'll be having to leave shortly. Can you just talk to us if we have some listeners who are considering an idea or a concept for their own business. And one of the reasons why I invited you today is because I have this you are the representative of that education piece. I've got Alicia, who's into fashion. I've got Pinky, who is driving driving force in the food industry now. And you represent this piece of education that's really trending now especially among African-American little girls. Mm-hmm. What if they want to start a business, maybe it's not exactly what you're doing, but some area of education, they want to start their own some type of education firm. What is it? What advice would you give them on where to start?
This is going to sound so generic. But I would actually Google it, Google information about starting a business, honestly.
Okay.
But, not only that, but I also think that, there are a couple of, I want to say there's a couple of websites that I really used, like Zoom Legal was really Legal Zoom, where they take you through the whole process of like starting a business, whether that's an LLC, incorporation, or anything else. And they have a lot of information. Ask a lawyer if you don't know a lawyer. That's something that you can look up and ask the questions. But outside of all of the sort of the official things like that, I would tell you to do it. Like there are the way the world works now, you have an idea, you probably can find or have an opportunity to have that idea become a reality in mm-hmm. some way, shape, or form. I would tell you to do it because doing it is the best way to see if it can be successful. Mm-hmm. So that would be the little bit of advice I would give you. If you're working in any business, the education part is vitally important, because without education, we don't grow. And so in every failure that we've all been through, you know, the contract we didn't sign, the grant we didn't get, you know, the tire that flew off in the middle of traffic, or the hood that came up, those are all lessons that we learned, little bits of education that help us grow and get better as we continue to do this thing. Every day, I always call myself a lifelong learner. Again, I know it's very cliched, but for me, it's like those are the portions where I wake up in the middle of the night like, oh, that's what that was about. Like, I get the lesson, and it's like the greatest thing for me anyway.
Awesome. So, Pinky,
I want to piggyback on that.
Go ahead.
Because I'm like, yes, that's right. That's true. When I think about business, I now know that what I do now and what I do to make money from what I do is really what I did before the business, before everything else. And it's important to really be passionate about what you want to do in business, because one, it'll make the journey and the process that much more easier. Like, I remember there were times where I would be in business doing things that I wasn't necessarily passionate about, and I seen the difference. So for people who want to get into that entrepreneurial space, you really gotta have a love for what you do. Like, you have to be in a space where you can do this for free and still enjoy it. You want to get a dollar from it and still enjoy it. And then secondly, you know, for people who want to start and be a business owner, just like Dr. Natasha said, Google is your best friend. Like, I am a master researcher. There's nothing that I don't know that Google or YouTube can't tell me. whenever I started a business, I would always just research, and learn as much as I could about the topic and become an expert in my own right, and then literally use everything that I've learned and just jump out there and jump. And literally, once you take the first step, you're almost there. My father used to tell me that success is like mud, okay? You throw something on the wall and something's got to stick. So as long as you continue working hard toward the things that you want and set an intention for yourself, everything that your heart desires and everything that you want, you're going to get it tenfold. You just got to be persistent, and you got to be brave and not be afraid of nothing. And walk in that power and walk in that confidence. And we're all Deltas on the phone, so we know about that confidence and being a dynamic woman.
Yep.
And as long as you take those little key ingredients, anything that you want in this life, whether it's business or personal, you'll be able to attain.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Wonderful words of wisdom. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
And Alicia, last but not least, give us your 30 years of experience. Give us, you know, where would you start, and give us some final words of wisdom?
Well, 30 years is a long time.
It is.
Yeah, it is a long time. And I can say I have seen changes in that time, where when we were in school, we were taught to get a corporate America job and retire on it.
Yeah.
Well, things change, and that doesn't happen anymore. So what we're taught now is multiple streams of income. So I encourage young people who come in my path to, and echoing what both you ladies have mentioned, is having the passion for it. But the key in research, but the key thing to me is that you have to have a value system. You have to have your product, have your idea, and build it with faith, build it with the intention of doing right by people. And it's so important of that. Like, Pinky, you can't just have fake ingredients. You just can't do it. It has to be. And Dr. Natasha, you can't just make up a curriculum and just think it's going to fly. It has to have impact, which means these kids have to be changed from it. And I tell people all the time that you have to be willing to put in the work. You have to. It's, and someone mentioned it's 25 hours a day. I think it's 30 hours a day because you don't sleep. You really don't sleep. Now, I've gotten sick through the years from stress, from worrying about things I can't fix, worrying about things that's reality, and being able to cope and deal with those better. But you're going to have some tough days. You're going to have some tough turns and tough decisions to make. And it's about just moving forward. You fix the situation best you can. If you can't, then you get people in place who can fix it for you. I help with it. And you keep moving and keep growing. So that's my best advice.
Right.
Awesome.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Thank you for those words of wisdom and, you know, being ethical and like your value system. It really is important. And when you hear about entrepreneurship and starting a business, people don't really talk about that side, like your personal code and what do you live by and who are you going to be happy when you lay your head on your pillow? Are you going to be happy with the person that you've become? You don't really hear about that. So really thank you for those words of wisdom. So, you know, hearing you guys talk about your experiences, it's been very worthwhile for me. I'm, you know, 21. I'm a rising senior now at Johns Hopkins, and I'm a public health and Spanish student, and I'm hoping to go into healthcare access. So, you know, hearing you guys has really been an inspiration to me. So I just wanted to steal a quick moment and ask you, Ms. Cole, you're an extremely successful businesswoman, and it's an inspiration to watch someone who looks like me to achieve the success. So, being a Black woman, have you ever felt underestimated or overlooked in the business world? And if so, how did you overcome those obstacles?
You know, that's a very good question. Before I got into the restaurant industry, I was a television producer. So, you know, the television industry is run by Jewish men.
Okay, Pinky, I think you're breaking up for we can't hear you.
In order for you to be heard, you have to own. And when I say own a room, can you hear me? Hello?
Now we can. So repeat your answer.
Okay, can you hear me now?
We can.
Okay. So, you know, being in the television industry for as long as I've been, I had to learn about owning my room, right?
Right.
So, you know, as a young African-American woman coming into a space that is led by white Jewish men, you have to really be able to own your room. And what I mean when I say that is you have to be able to command your audience everywhere you go and not be afraid and show that you are more than enough and you are capable. And it sucks that even in this day and age, we still have to set out to prove ourselves. But in that space, once you command what you desire, you'll get everything that you need. So, you know, even with Slutty Vegan, in the beginning, a lot of people told me, oh, that's not going to work. The name is too provocative. Why would you do that? Why would you create a name like that? And I've even gotten rejected from certain opportunities. One, especially being the Super Bowl. I was supposed to go to the Super Bowl, and they told me that the name would be conflicting because of how provocative it was. So they rejected us when we were initially invited. But I'm so glad that I stuck to my guns, because now I look back months later and it was the best decision I made, not to change my name, not to do what everybody said that I should do, because the name is the reason why people are paying attention. So I actually welcome it when people underestimate me, because what that does for me is it just motivates me to work harder. It motivates me to show up and own every single room that I walk in.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I really, really, that's a very inspiring story. You know, people telling you that you're not going to succeed and you're not going to make it. And, you know, a lot of people, a lot of Black women can relate to that being underestimated. And the fact that you overcame all of that, that's really amazing. That's really amazing. So thank you for sharing that with me as a young woman, you know, trying to go, not trying to be an entrepreneur necessarily, but trying to go into the workforce and trying to make it. So thank you so much. And Ms. Porter, you know, I also just wanted to ask you, you said a very powerful thing earlier in the podcast that really stuck with me, that growth is painful and that you have to trust. And these emotional, like internal, more human side of entrepreneurship, I don't hear about that in school, and I don't really hear about that in academic environment. So I wanted to ask you, amongst the pain and amongst the, you know, the difficulty to trust people, how do you prioritize your growth?
Well, it goes back to internal, what's inside, and it goes back to your faith and believing in your higher power. And that trust has been trusting God, because there are days when you just may want to just give up. There are days when it's like it's just so many darts are thrown and you just can't duck anymore, and then you're just being stuck in so many different places, so many issues all at one time. And it's so easy to walk away, but it's harder to stay. So for me, it's been growing closer to God, to where in Him I can release all of my fears and know that it's going to get better. It's going to be better. It's going to be resolved. What you think bad is not going to happen. And again, it goes back to faith. So, and I employ people to always have a higher power and have trust in that, because things will work out. Even the worst, it'll work out. And there are times when you can plan and plan and plan the perfect plan, just like the Delta Convention, the perfect plan, and it went to the left. And that was an act of God because of the weather. But being able to think on your feet, make decisions, painful decisions, and keep moving forward, fortitude. And that's so, so important to survival in business and in life.
Well, that is awesome. Thank you so much for that, Alicia. As you know, I am a believer that God ordains, He does definitely maintain. Yes. And on that note, I want to thank you ladies for your perspectives. I want to encourage you to keep doing the good work that you do. I will certainly be in prayer for each of your endeavors. And I want to remind our listeners to follow these ladies on their social media platforms and stay tuned for all of the great
Sisters
things that they do.
Sisters Perspectives is a forum where individuals come to express their viewpoint, their stance, their angle on issues relative to topics of concern to the community globally. Each week, our co-host and featured guest will present a perspective through a unique lens. The Sisters Perspective gives the world a frame of reference, an ear, a voice on politics, public policy, advocacy, finance, economics, health. The Sisters Perspective is a roundtable on hot topics with dialogue on issues in the news. It's a way of looking at controversial subjects, approaches, and outlooks. So come check us out and give us your perspective.